It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Bears report time. Doesn't matter what's going on with us. The Bears are practicing. We're talking about it. Chris Emma with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Emma?
What's up? How we doing, guys?
We are doing well. How was Caleb Williams today?
He looked good. He looked sharp, continued on from where he left off Saturday in the preseason game. They did have a light walkthrough Sunday as well before the off day yesterday, but it was impressive from Caleb. The operation is getting noticeably cleaner. You've heard praise from some of his teammates as well. And you heard some real praise about the way that he played, throwing for 95 yards in that preseason debut, some of the throws he made. He left a real impression on some of his teammates. I guess we'll just get right to him, man. Here's Andrew Billings talking about his quarterback.
Oh, yeah. That was beautiful. You know, we watch him do what he does at practice. You know, it just, we want to see it in the game. And the fact that he came out there and he did what he did and stayed composed with it, that's all you can ask for him, really.
So, you know, it's good stuff, Emma. We want to know what the teammates are thinking and feeling. And we were just talking about what the defensive players might think as they're watching. And Billings is a vet. It's interesting how much better Caleb looked in that game than he really had it in most practices. And that in itself is compelling. But you're saying he brought that back to practice and carried on what he had shown on Saturday.
Yeah, highlight of the day came toward the ends of practice, a 30-yard touchdown pass for Romo Odunze. Odunze ran around past Terrell Smith by coverage and hit him in stride. It was a great throw, one of those plays that gets the entire camp all fired up. So, but the operation has been cleaner, too. You've seen fewer pre-snap mistakes. It's funny hearing Andrew Billings as well being the guy praising Caleb Williams, because Billings has been one of the menaces for this defense that's gotten after Caleb Williams and this offensive line. You know, they're barking off the snap counts and trying to really rattle these guys a little bit. Like, he's one of the guys that's really kind of challenged and created problems in a way for Caleb Williams. I like Billings being real there, saying, look, we see it in practice. We want to see it in a game now, and it looked pretty good out there.
Yeah, you know, what was your top impression? So, I mean, the mechanics, good. The game, impressive. But on-field Caleb Williams, what's been your top takeaways of the last, you know, 72 hours or so?
Gosh, I mean, it's kind of in a way the culmination of these last, I don't know, so many months where you talk to different people about Caleb Williams before they even drafted him. Like, what are the Bears getting in this guy if he is the guy? And then ultimately, when you make that pick, what's he going to look like as the potential quarterback? And the thing you kept hearing about Caleb Williams is, like, the processing level is next level. Like, that's his great strength. And you've seen glimpses of it in practice where he's able to hit a throw for somebody along the sidelines and pull the trigger on something that other quarterbacks simply aren't seeing right away or not confident making that throw. Caleb's willing to pull the trigger on that. You get him out there in a game, and it translated. That first completion that he hit to DJ Moore was one where he looked off DeMar Hamlin, the safety over the top, and kind of created an opening in a way for DJ Moore where there were three defenders in the area, but Caleb was able to buy him enough space just with his eye work and then going through his progressions to get that ball on the spot to DJ Moore for a first down throw. That's an example of that processing element of what Caleb Williams really brings to this offense. So it checked every box. But I had low expectations, and not necessarily anything against Caleb Williams, but just, you don't want to set expectations too high for these preseason games. It's about operation. It's about everything pre-snap and then obviously just getting out of there healthy. Anything more that you would have gotten on Saturday would have been nice. I thought he looked great. I really did.
Chris, the plan for this week with the Bengals coming in, and I think Susanna Hoff still has it, but the Bengals are coming in for Thursday and Friday. Is there a chance we don't see Caleb in Saturday's game? Because Zach Taylor has said flat out that the Bengals starters are unlikely to play on Saturday.
Yeah, I should clarify first. I think the Bengals Friday will be a private thing away from the Bears. I think this is kind of their own walkthrough. I don't know where they're going to be, but Thursday will be the big day. The Bengals will not be playing their starters, as you mentioned, Speaks. We still don't know about the Bears. We will hear from Matt Eberflus I believe next on Thursday. So we'll know after practice, but I do not imagine the starters are going to play either for the Bears. But we had this precedent set last year when the Bears were down in Indianapolis with the Colts. And Matt Eberflus, after that first practice, said, I love the way we're working out there. We're going to give our starters the rest for this preseason game. Look, they structure every detail of these practices. They go two different fields, Bears offense versus Bengals defense, vice versa on the other side. They're running basically simultaneous with ones against ones and the twos against twos and getting all the work out there. And these coaches obviously need to go through a plan and have everything set up where it's better than a preseason game in their mind. The way that you're able to structure these practices, Zach Taylor certainly sees the value if he's keeping their starters out of action. I think Matt Eberflus will follow suit as well.
All right, so what else do we have from the report today in terms of people that we're talking, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, the other standout from Saturday's game, the other rookie who really popped was Austin Booker, the fifth-round pick. 2.5 sacks in that game. And, like, it's meaningful for this kid. This is somebody that we've been talking about ever since he was made that fifth-round pick when the Bears traded back for him. And you kept hearing raw talent, but a guy who's willing to learn, who's willing to be better. The thing he kept hearing, too, is that like he could be a first-round caliber pick if he stayed in for next year's draft. He was ready to get to the NFL, really ready to work. And like the kid just strikes me. He's got the talent. You could see him that last sack in particular where he kind of spun off from one end, cut back inside, and then bounced off the A gap and got to the quarterback for a half sack. That's digging into the toolbox of pass rush moves for him. So it looked really impressive. We heard from Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, talking about what Austin Booker has done to really stand out so far. Here's Eric Washington.
Well, I think he's got an innate feel. And the good rushers are hard to hit. They're hard to stall. And they understand at max speed how to engage their hands, how to contort their body, how to counter at max speed without having to slow themselves down and allow the protection to kind of catch up with what they're doing, whether they're staying outside or trying to work inside. He has a great feel for that. And right now what he's going through is taking what he brings to the table and combining that with all of the other details that he has to have from an assignment standpoint situationally so he can play good, clean football and we can get maximum benefit from what he can do.
How does the guy have a feel when he only plays 500 snaps in college?
Well, that's a great question. That's just what he's blessed with, what he's his God-given talent, and also what he's done before he even got here in terms of just understanding that position, the game of football, and how to rush and against protections and some of those things. So a lot of credit goes to him and what he's able to do.
Man, I'm getting excited about the possibilities here because, look, we've seen it with the eye test in games in preseason. You guys have seen it with the eye test, pardon me, in practices. The way Flus was talking about him the other day, he's got that natural slip that he's like slippery, and that's Flus with an eye for defensive talent. And right there with Washington, man, when you can do your stuff to get around the edge at maximum speed and it's fluid like that and you've only played 500 snaps, you don't even know the freaking nuances of what you're doing, they might have scouted and found somebody here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the idea of a future first-round pick is interesting. It's a tough position to crack. There's just a lot of incredible elite athletes at the position. But if he ends up being even just a starting caliber player, certainly a second contract guy. I mean, it'll go down, given just the premium value of the position.
Yeah.
It'll go down as one of the big, not the biggest, because I mean, the biggest Ryan Poles win is the Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, and everything else trade.
Sure.
But, I mean, if he found a starting caliber defensive end for the trade of a future fourth round pick, I mean, it'll just go down as a great, great, great win.
Without a doubt, yeah. Look, I remember asking Ryan Poles after night two of the draft, did you have any intentions to trade back to get some more picks in this draft? He said, you know, not really, but there's got to be somebody we really have a star next to and somebody we really got to value to make that move. That was Austin Booker, and they kept seeing him fall. They made that Torrey Taylor pick at 122, and Booker just kept falling. I bet they were torn not to take Austin Booker, but he kept falling and falling, and it was right there for them, and pick 144 comes along, and they make that move. Like, they feel really confident about this kid. You talk to people in that building, too, who've got to know the Austin Booker. Like, he is really determined. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and, like, that matters. That's not just something you say about this kid. Like, he's got the talent. We've heard all about that. It's raw. He's got to work. He's got to put in what it takes to be great. like really eager to improve. Somebody who, like, the second he got drafted, talked to Travis Smith, his defensive line coach, pulled the number from Max Crosby, called him Max Crosby days after he got drafted. Like, what do I got to do to be like you? How can I be great? It says a lot about him. He's embraced every bit of this. And now a guy like Gary Washington is really important in that developmental process. Washington has been key in the growth of some of these young defensive linemen he's gone on to coach. He really sees something in Austin Booker. He did say later, like, I don't want to rave too much. This kid still has a long way to go, which is great to hear from a coach. But, like, they see something in this kid.
Texter's on it, and I'll add him to my list. Like, if we're thinking about players possibly getting featured in tonight's Hard Knocks, Colin Johnson, who they started to tease with the Week 1 stuff, Velus Jones, because the director was talking in the Adam Johns piece about the running backs room being interesting and Chad Morton being somebody they like, and Velus is an interesting story, and Austin Booker. Austin Booker feels like a real obvious, like, who did they find a diamond in the rough kind of thing for Hard Knocks.
I mean, it would be a choice to not do 60 minutes on Caleb, but I guess that would be fine. Yeah, sure, I suppose. I don't know why. Defensive end, receiver, boring. Give me all of Caleb Williams that you could possibly handle. What have your impressions been of Eric Washington, Emma, overall? He matters a lot for this team, given that they haven't made premium investments in talent on the defensive line.
Yeah, I think he's the right compliment to Matt Eberflus. I think he's somebody who really knows the coaching and developmental side. And it really matters when you think about Eberflus's intention to be that true CEO-level head coach and to oversee every bit of this. I think Washington is the right compliment as somebody who knows this defense and knows the scheme, but also knows what each individual needs. And he's got a great way about him. You know, he's got like a military kind of sound to him. He's very direct. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, but he also seems like somebody who's really good for young players and somebody who can help these guys kind of grow and learn along the way. So still figuring him out, but like I've been really struck by him so far.
All right, and what's the status and the latest with Nate Davis?
He was back out there today, and it was a limited role, but it was good to see because I thought we might have been at least a week away from him really being back out there. You have to kind of wonder to some extent, like, did he get the messages? Did he get the proverbial fire lit you know where? Like, it's good to see him back out there. It's a slow ramp up, and I think it's going to be a bit before he is full go. But that was a positive development for this offensive line. On the other end, Ryan Bates was not out there today. He was sidelined once again. He left practice late last week, so that would have been Wednesday with an injury. Has not been back out there since. Did not play during Saturday's game. So you got Coleman Shelton lining up as the center. Nate Davis taking reps at right guard until he checked out, and Matt Pryor jumped into that spot. They're still working through things, guys. Like, this is still, we're August 13th right now. You're under a month to go until week one, and you're still kind of figuring out this offensive line. Braxton Jones, who is healthy, your starting left tackle, was asked about the value of continuity on the offensive line. Here's Braxton Jones.
I mean, I think, you know, we're playing football at the highest level. So, I mean, obviously it's super important. Obviously some of the best lines in football have played, you know, five, 6 years all together in the same system, and that's kind of why they're the best. But at the end of the day, we all are the best players in the NFL, and so it matters, but you still got to go in and operate when something does happen. There's so many injuries in this league, and I just think being able to adjust is obviously a big thing too. But like I said, the continuity and running with the same guy for the whole camp or 2-3 years really does matter, but at the same time, we got to be able to adjust and play football.
Do you get a chance to talk to Chris Morgan at all, the O-line coach, here during camp, or is that a no-no in its entirety?
A little bit last week, yes, I did.
Okay, and as I hear Braxton talk about that continuity, I find myself wondering about Morgan, who they retained from last year. Interesting that they retained Morgan to work with Shane Waldron, and I wonder what he thinks about who their best five is when healthy.
I'll be honest with you. Chris Morgan did not seem like a happy guy last week, and he's somebody who's pretty upbeat and has a very good way about him. He seemed downright frustrated last week. So this is during, like, Nate Davis has just went down again. I can't remember if that was before or after Ryan Bates went down, but, like, this is a guy who's been every day, what do I have for my first-team offensive line? I mean, all five positions, they've had somebody different in there because of an injury or whatever it may be. It's not good. It's frustrating for an offensive line coach, and it's frustrating from an offense as a whole. When you're talking about developing a young quarterback like Caleb Williams, he doesn't know who his center is going to be every day because you don't know who the right guard is going to be. You don't know what the trickle-down effect is going to be. Yeah, Chris Morgan seemed a little frustrated. It's out of character for him. He's not somebody he's not outwardly frustrated, but you could sense it's like, all right, let's see what we got every day. And, you know, they get through this week, you head into that final week of the preseason. You want to get some answers. You want to know what's your starting five going to be going into week one.
All right, Bears nuggets and tidbits with Chris Emma in this Bears report.
Yeah, Montez Sweat was back in action today in a limited role. Eric Washington was asked about Sweat, said there is no concern over his availability for week one. Kyler Gordon also returned to practice in kind of a ramp-up phase. Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker, Roquan Johnson were among those who were not practicing. As you mentioned, guys, Hard Knocks second episode is tonight. Andrew Billings said his TV is broken, so he's not been able to watch. $8 million extension should be able to take care of that. And Danny, if you'll allow me, man, we know we all recognize you were an incredible talent when you came in. You did some great work along the way, but you poured yourself into everything, man, to this station, to what about Chicago, to the fundraiser this weekend. We're proud of you. You have a lot to be proud of. It's been an honor to work with you. And best of luck in your role as chief meteorologist, Channel 2 in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
A lot of tornadoes out there, Chris.
That's true. That's where they send
the big... Gotta be careful down there, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. That's where they send the big talents. Yeah, it's a Little Rock tornado season. Thank you, man. That means a lot. I really appreciate it. It's been nice working with you and getting to know you, and been nice talking to you a little bit about this radiothon. Your heart's in the right place, and you do great work as well with the Jeff Dickerson, Vaughn McClure Foundation. I know you're on the board over there, so keep it up, man. You do great work, and honestly, these Bears reports with you and for Grody sometimes have been incredible. So good stuff, man. Thank you. It's been an honor to work with you.
I appreciate it, buddy. Hey, good luck with everything. Take care.
Thank you. That is Chris Emma. Oh God.
Yeah, man.
I was thinking Bears.
Yeah, Little Rock. Yeah, you know, you thought that he had one more nugget. He had one more nugget.
It was odd for Tandy to play, you know, New York as the open today, but you know, that was the name of that song, right?
I think so. But
I know
what they say about Little Rock, though.
It's the New York of Arkansas.
They say if you can make it there,
you could make it anywhere.
Anywhere, it's up to you,
right?
Little Rock. That's exactly right.
If you can make it there, they say, why do you want to make it here? This is Little Rock.
If you can make it there, then you shouldn't have come in the first place. Yeah. Shane, I had offers out of college at Emerson, where I was a TV sports guy, to go be a weekend sports guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And instead, I came out here to sing instead.
Smart.
Worked out for you.
It did work out, but, you know, parents weren't thrilled. You know, not very excited. We just sent you to college for 4 years. Remember that part where we paid for college?
Yeah.
So those job offers you have, you're not going to take those, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to sing. How's that going to work out for you?
Well,
you know,
Alabama.
That's right. What can you do?
You tell them one day I'll be working with Danny Barton.
That's right. One day I'll be getting ready for my fifth different partner since 2009.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I mean,
38th overall.
Yeah, but fill in hosts, one-offs.
I mean,
you've worked as long as you have.
Sure. But yeah, five since 2009. It's not that many.
I'd say you've worked long enough, Speaks.
It's not what I meant.
Shane, we've worked together long enough. Yep, sure have. Nailed it.
You... So Manley, Mac, Manley.
Mac, Manley,
Goff,
and you.
And me.
Well, I mean, Lawrence for like 4 months or something. We did 4 months together.
Yeah.
You know? Bernsey, we did a week, but it felt like 6 months.
Yeah, so man, you've worked with like a lot of people.
Right.
That's too many.
Me and David Schuster did a day that felt like 6 months. That's mean. I was kidding.
Hey, was it on Christmas with John Paxton?
It was.
Did it happen to be that day?
No. I didn't get to do that. That was the best.
That was the Schuster special. Yeah.
Schuster special.
What a tradition.
Christmas Day. Schuster's on. Pax is leaving the household. All right, let me go out back. I got to call David. It's brilliant, man. Schuster set that up.
I'd be interested in like a one-page oral history of how that happened.
Oh, I know. I know exactly how it happened.
Why Christmas?
Well, I know how it continued, but I don't. It's not my place to share.
Okay.
Yeah, David Schuster's
on tomorrow, so you know we'll maybe
we'll ask Pax. That would be an incredible book.
And Schuster, they're coming on together.
Okay. Felt like this was an interrogation,
and you have to bring them bottles of vodka.
Okay. Oh, right. There we go. All right, Speaks has information.
I do.
Information.
Got information from a well-placed Cubs source. And then you know what I did, Danny? I confirmed it with a second source because I'm told that's how to do it. And even
Phony, fake radio.
Even though I am a non-reporter.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but you're a multi-level baseball person.
That's exactly
Everyone
right.
Everyone knows that. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like him.
Afternoons on the score.
3-2. In the air, out towards right center. Suzuki the call.
No. Oh, my goodness.
And two-run score. Suzuki called off Bellinger. And just a miscommunication, or maybe he lost it in the lights. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Dave Wansteck going to join us in about 15 minutes tomorrow. Please tell anyone who you're in a group chat with, you know someone that likes the Parkinson Spiegel Show, make sure they heard the news. Tomorrow's the last edition of the Parkinson Spiegel Show, as Friday's my last day at the score. Still be involved in the station. The radiothon will hopefully continue and all of that. But, yeah, I'll be able to announce tomorrow where I'm going, although you guys probably all know it's been out there. And Radiothon is the last broadcast, so tomorrow's the last Parkinson Spiegel Show, but you've got some Cubs intel.
Well, you heard the highlight right there coming in of Seiya Suzuki with a big-time drop out there in right field. It's happened a lot of times, most famously maybe last September against Atlanta as part of the collapse. There was the Saturday night game against the Reds where it was dropped. He dropped a ball that cost them three runs and then ended up hitting a grand slam. It's been an adventure. Out there. And not just on the plays he doesn't make. Sometimes he'll break back before he comes in and won't quite get to a ball in front, or there's anxiety. You remember the time against Arizona a couple weeks ago when Gabby Moreno, the catcher, basically stole a base on him on a single by pausing and Seiya threw behind him, and Justin Steele is standing on the mound pointing to second. There's been a lot of plays, and I have been told and then confirmed that as soon as Cody Bellinger is able to play the outfield physically, Seiya Suzuki is your everyday DH. That he goes to DH.
That's a big shift.
And that's where he's going to be. And there's short-term repercussions of this. There's long-term repercussions of this. And there's another piece of news that I have as well, but let's discuss this one first. As soon as Bellinger is healthy enough to play the outfield with regularity, he will play in right, and Seiya will be your everyday DH.
And then, even as a fourth outfielder, like Talkman would be out there. I mean, Seiya is going to be 5 or 6 days a week at DH, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So no rotation at DH, no half days, you know, get your bat in lineup, get off your feet. Seiya's bat is in, and they're going to maximize defense.
You're going to maximize defense and maximize your lineup.
Well, right. I mean, Bellinger and Seiya and this version of PCA all in the same lineup, obviously, also is helpful.
All got to play. And Mike Talkman is a perfectly useful fourth outfielder at any of your outfield spots. And,
another thought real quick on it is this has taken them by surprise. Like Jed didn't think this was going to be a problem when he signed Seiya to the $100 million deal.
Over the course of his career here, yes, it has taken him by surprise. There was a little bit of a nod to it in spring training. And I think I mentioned it to you when I came back from those 4 days out there in March. When Alexander Canario and Seiya Suzuki were both in the lineup together in March, Seiya was in left field and Canario was in right. And I was like, that's interesting. That's how they feel about which one of those guys is better suited to the more difficult corner outfield spot. And obviously you've got Ian Happ locked and loaded as a two-time Gold Glove Award winner in left field. So Seiya is not going to be playing left anytime soon unless they move Happ in the offseason, so we can get to the long-term effects of this. But yes, Seiya is a DH. And let me say, looking around, Shohei Ohtani's a full-time DH. Marcell Ozuna is a full-time DH. Yordan Alvarez is a full-time DH. JD Martinez, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, those guys are largely full-time DHs. Schwarber will play in the outfield every once in a while, but it's totally fine to have a guy making what Seiya is making as a DH.
As long as you have an OPS over 800.
OPS over 800?
I mean,
hit the ball hard.
Ohtani is not a fair guy to put in there. Just because of when he's healthy, he's got the pitching value.
Schwarber with an 882 OPS and 27 homers. No problem. JD Martinez in the Mets with a 779 OPS and 12 homers. On the edge, I suppose, but he's making $10 million. But yeah, I mean, Yordan Alvarez is a 950 guy. Marcell Ozuna, 965. And Shohei over one, to your point. So, and then the long-term thing? Hey, man, somebody can snag a corner outfield spot on this team, be it a free agent or one of the kids who earns the time. And this is the other part of the news that I was able to confirm today. Owen Casey likely to be a September call-up. They get two. Used to be you get anybody on the 40-man roster. Now you only get two. There's 26 men on the roster now. It goes to 28, 14 pitchers maximum, so you don't have like the endless slog of pitchers. So probably two position players or at least one, but Owen Casey likely to be one of them. It's a guy who's played a lot of corner outfield and some first base in the minors. It'll be interesting to see.
They got to add him to the 40-man.
Yep. So they'll have to get rid of somebody and add Owen Casey to the 40-man, and then you'll see him in September with a chance to audition as a lefty slugger for maybe a corner outfield spot next year.
He's got an OPS of over 800 at AAA with 12 homers in Iowa this year. Mm-hmm. So that is another bat. You said lefty. I mean,
it's only 12 homers. You'd like to see a little more power by now. And we'll see. I mean, the roster down there at AAA now has James Triantos and Matt Shaw along with Kevin Alcantara and Owen Casey. They're all there. So, you know, along with some 4A guys like Trace Thompson. Trace Thompson is in Iowa. Anybody want White Sox fans? You want Trace Thompson again?
I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do. But yeah, so we'll see who else might be a call up. And I think it's important to think about long term. By the way, Juan Soto plays right field.
Yeah,
just want to mention that.
So Juan Soto plays right field. I was thinking about that. Do you know? Because I mean, Bellinger might not be on the team next year.
Correct.
Like if he finishes hot. Part of the reason to do this is because Bellinger is an awesome defensive player and PCA is an awesome defensive player.
Absolutely.
As is Happ left. And so now, I mean, you have arguably the best defensive outfield in baseball.
Yeah, you have three Gold Glove caliber outfielders, including two who've won them before.
Yeah.
Once Bellinger is out there, and then Gold Gloves in the middle of the infield as well.
And one who is, I mean, PCA will win Gold Gloves in his career in center field. So it is. The defensive part is there, but have you gotten any indication from your source? I mean, I know next year is a long way away, but like, is Seiya a right fielder option next year? Or for the duration of his contract, is he a DH?
To me, and it's funny because I've been saying it now for a couple of weeks, but I was able to find out that that's how they feel too. Seiya's a DH. Let him be a DH next year. And you can use it every once in a while. You can rotate it every once in a while and have him play in the outfield. It's not like he's unplayable out there. But going into next year, knowing that he's your DH the way that Atlanta knew Marcell Ozuna was theirs, it's totally fine. It's maybe not ideally how they'd like to do it, but I think it is the best way to do it. And a lot of their prospects could end up being corner outfielders. And it opens up free agency as well.
Good stuff. Good reporting there. Dave Wanstead going to join us, not able to make the last show tomorrow, so he's going to come on and hang out with us a little bit today.
How do you feel, though? That's probably the last time you'll ever have to talk baseball.
That's an interesting thought.
That's probably the last time you will ever have to talk about baseball.
Oh, my God.
It's an interesting. I mean, I got the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon Thursday, Friday. I mean, we'll be talking cancer mostly. Baseball might come up.
That's more cancer. More cancer than baseball.
Much more cancer than baseball.
Plus, Ryan Sandberg will be part of the Radiothon during our slot. I'll take care of the baseball stuff on that one.
Yeah, but we'll probably just talk cancer. Yeah. I mean, it felt good, honestly. Felt good. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
Parkins and Spiegel show flashback. One of us actually paid up on one of our bets. I brought in a bottle of red.
You did.
I've been looking forward to drinking with you all day. And then you're like,
well, let's open it. Let's have it.
Oh, man, what do we got?
I see light mango.
What? You son of a bitch.
Come on. They're not making this in Pittsburgh. I got to see where this is.
Oh, you bet.
It is. Pittsburgh, Iron City. You know what? I'm going to text the president of Iron City Beer as soon as I leave here.
Dave loves Iron City Light. He likes it over ice. It's his Pittsburgh beer of choice. He doesn't like fruit beers. He didn't know there was an Icy Light mango, and he's now disgusted.
Is it nutty? Is it foamy? Is it hoppy? Does it have a surprisingly fruity note which lingers on the tongue?
It's beer.
We'll have five of those, please.
You're appalled by this, right? This is an Iron City Light with fruit in it, and you like it straight up over ice.
Yes.
Makes your taste buds come alive. It's like having a circus in your mouth.
I want your review of Iron City Light Mango as if it was a quarterback.
That's Philly. Tastes like ass.
If it was a quarterback, probably third team, and keep him on the scout team and go Wildcat with Ricky Williams before I'd put him in the game.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so he's seeing no action.
Wow. Very, very, very
sage. Trust
sage Roosevelt's.
Don't even trust IC Light Mango to throw a pass.
Not even if we got to the third.
It'll get you out of a game, coach.
He could manage a driver three.
So would coach, Rick's. Do you often finish beers that you hate so much?
Show him what a man is. Drinking his iron. Not a bunch of airheads sitting around on a beach.
Iron City Beer. There's a little iron in all of us.
It's a bird thing.
But anyway, I just fell in love with him. Come on out here, Mango.
Mango?
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
I love this man. It's the grandfather that I wished I had.
We got some stones or what?
Oh, my God. Dave Wannstedt for the last time on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Hi, Coach.
Danny, I'm available. I'm available for you.
I know you are, Dave. You've always been available for me professionally, personally. You know, Shane and Tanny and Spiegs, that's the toughest thing to leave. But
Thank you.
But you're on the list, Dave. It's very, very tough to leave our relationship professionally and personally.
Yeah, well, it's mutual. It's mutual, and it's fantastic. You know, congratulations, well deserved. You'll love Fox. It's a first. You know, I was with them, as we all know, for 8 years. You know, it's a first class organization. You know, good luck flying in and out of New York. But other than that, everything is super for you. I'm really happy.
Yeah, his show with Sean Hannity is going to be fire.
Oh, absolutely. Bring it on.
I mean, I got some takes for him. I would do very, very well in that platform.
Hey, now, if you do a great job there, you may get invited out to Mr. Murdoch's son's house, which was the old Beverly Hills house. And the Beverly Hillbillies out there in L.A., that he bought that house, and usually once a year he'll have a little staff dinner out there. So you could really be stepping up, Danny.
So Absolutely. Wait, Lachlan Murdoch or whichever Murdoch it is?
Yes. It was the most expensive house on the market in our country. This is a story for another day. We'll cover that later, Spink. I got to save some of my stuff, you know? Come on. With Danny gone, we love him, we kiss him, but... But the show moves on.
That's
man.
Right.
Let's go.
That's right. All right. I'll stick a pin in the Beverly Hillbillies house story for next time. Thank you, Coach.
Now, Dave, I just want to, you know, I want to teach you a few things about football since I'm going to be gone for this upcoming season.
I almost spit out my coffee.
Okay. When they go four wide, it's not because they don't value the run game and defense. It's because they have a great quarterback. I know you've never really been around one. And so these great quarterbacks, they like to throw the ball down the field to try to score touchdowns in order to score a lot of points. Okay.
That all sounds great, Danny. Go ahead. But when 45 seconds run off the clock and somebody's back on the field, I want you standing there next to Montez Sweat. when he just came off the field 43 seconds ago and you threw three incomplete passes.
Okay? I don't care how tired the defense is when they score touchdowns, Coach.
I know you don't. I know you don't. You never did.
Never.
I don't know. Now you see. Now I can't believe you're leaving because you got the perfect cover, the perfect backup. Now we got a great punter. Love the guy, Taylor. So now you can say we just punt the ball 60 yards and here we go. We're good to go.
You know, you've been good-natured about it, but you can tell us, I mean, very few people are listening. How disgusted have you been about Danny's thoughts on football through the years, Coach?
No, you know what? Yes, to some degree, I would walk out of there, and after my second Bradshaw bourbon, it was a long walk home, you know. But I was a team player.
Amazing, the best.
Yeah, so a lot of times, Danny, when Shane would come in and say, "You want another one?" and I would say, "Yes, you were the reason." Okay,
I get it. You had to wash those bad takes down. I know, but like, so when they're rolling them out and he's looking left and throwing right, that's because he's talented and he's got a great arm and, you know, he does all of these amazing things. We've never seen it in this town before, but now that I'm not going to be here, I just want you to be sure that you can keep telling our listeners about great quarterback play, you know? It's not Sage Rosenfels back there.
I love everything. I love Caleb Williams and everything I saw about him. I mean, you know, and on a serious note, the great thing about what happened in that first game, we got an off. I don't know if it was scripted that way or obviously the defense forced a couple of those situations, but we had an opportunity to see him in a drop back situation, complete a great pass. We saw him on a bootleg, on a movement pass. We saw him on a third down when they played two man and the field opened up. We saw him scramble for a first down. We saw him got knocked to the ground once, maybe twice, and come right back. So, you know, I don't think, as a head coach looking at it from a football standpoint, you know, it played out. I don't want to say scripted. It played out about as perfect as it could to get a look at Caleb Williams and what he can do in all those situations.
That's great stuff from Coach Dave Wanstead on the variety of plays and looks we were able to see from Caleb Williams. You know what's so obvious, Coach? Is the baseline, the starting point, like the bottom, the floor of what this guy can be, is so much higher as a starting point than what we've been living with the last 7 years. It's just like some of the basics of looking through his progressions, making anticipatory throws, and like pointing out blocking assignments. Like this guy is not going to be a bust. I hope for the high ceiling, but it's pretty easy to say he's not going to be a bust, Coach.
You know, there was a great point there that I made this earlier today to somebody. You know, I always enjoy listening to the press conference because as a head coach, you know, after the game, sometimes you think that the player really got it, but he really didn't. You know, he kind of made something happen and really had no idea what he was doing. I listened to Caleb and he talked about two or three of those plays and it was, well, I had the underneath throw, but I saw Komet coming across and I knew that if I threw the ball, as long as I kept it out in front of him, if he didn't catch it, it would be, I mean, the thought process, this kid knew exactly what he was doing. And that was as impressive to me, his reasoning behind it, as the actuality of what happened live in the game, because he knew what he was doing. That's awesome.
All right, so should we make one more bottle of wine bet? I can afford nicer bottles of wine now, Dave. What do we want to bet?
I know you let me think about it and
aim high, yeah, Coach.
Well,
aim high.
I'll aim high. Okay. How about, am I going to put you on the spot if I say wins for the Bears? Well, we're both thinking the same thing. Well, I bet him already at 9 or more, so that wouldn't be a good bet.
All right, wait, say, but how about passing yards? Because you're like, you know,
okay,
they could be.
I'm going to say Caleb throws for 3,000 yards. You're going to say 5,000. I'm going to say 3,000. Okay, go ahead. Say 5. Say
no, no, it's not going to be 5. How about we'll do over under at 3,500 yards, his actual total?
Hold on, Coach. It's 3,600.
It's 3,500.
It's 3,600 at circa. 3600.5 is what I have.
I thought it was 35.5. Okay.
I'm on the under. I'm on the under. You're on the over for a bottle of wine. That's a deal. Yep. I got you. I think that's very, very reasonable. Absolutely.
Do you got a wine choice? You got an expensive wine choice we can look for?
We'll figure something out, you know.
We'll have to do a couple of bottles for the dinner when we all get back together down the road. I'll be back in Chicago at some point.
How about a Chateau Lafite 1869 at $230,000? What do you think, Coach?
Danny's not making that much this year. Wait till he's like a rookie player now. You know what he's gonna do? Because I went through about four or five contracts at Fox. Danny, remember this now. You're the rookie player, and you're trying to get. You're on your rookie contract, and you're trying to get that payday, which is the second time around.
Right.
So you keep that in mind.
I just hope Laura Ingram lets him talk enough. You know what I mean? It's gonna be tough.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. She's tough. You know. You know what?
This is good advice, Dave.
Hannity's down there playing golf where I play in Naples at Tiburon anyway, so I'll put in a good word for you, Danny. Absolutely.
All right, thanks. Yeah, we can vacation together.
Shane, I said you know how to get that second contract, and I got along obviously with all those people. Great. I told Danny this. Okay, here's what you do: when the time comes right, say yes. I obviously enjoyed working with Coach Watson, but really had great conversations with Terry Bradshaw and Jimmy Johnson when they would come on the show. That's all you got to do, Danny. You're on your way, man. You are in fourth year.
You know what his dream is?
You're the best.
You know what his dream is? He's going to that place. You mentioned it twice, but I won't say it, but it rhymes with socks. He wants to end up on Jimmy Johnson's boat. That's when he knows he's made it over
there.
That's
the real dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you get that second contract first. Just talk, don't get ahead of yourself, okay? Don't get ahead of yourself.
David, it's been an honor and a privilege, my friend. Stay in touch. I know we will, but we'll talk and see each other soon, all right?
All right, sounds good. Hey, Shane, call me next week. We'll see what's up for a show or something, okay?
All right.
Okay.
There it is.
Yep. Yeah, can do that off the air.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, he's an amazing man.
He really is.
He's just a delightful guy who totally understands the ball busting necessary for a coaching staff or a radio show.
Yeah,
completely
and
gets it.
The stories and just putting up with my nonsense and tongue-in-cheek disrespect to his incredible resume.
We got exactly. We got was it tongue-in-cheek? I didn't
realize.
Well, no,
I mean, I obviously mean every word of it offensively.
I was going to say.
I'm not trying to be offensive, but offensive record was offensive.
You can't help that. That's just kind of part of your skill set.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But seriously, the fact that you were the reason for the second drink. And all those Thursday appearances.
Yeah.
See, because he used to say, we got to have a little more. Spiegs is here.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. Because
that would be that rarity.
As if Dave Wanstead needed an excuse for a second drink when he was merely doing radio. I mean, the guy would, national TV, buttoned up. Radio, he would just walk in, mics were on, he didn't care. He started talking without even a microphone.
How many drinks do you think he had as the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator?
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't care about the...
Exactly.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no,
I'm just saying.
I don't even know. Certainly possible.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, sir. What do we got in store for tomorrow, Shane? What do we got in store? Don't tell me. Surprises. I know, I just set you up in a weird spot there.
Shane, say something.
How are we going to talk?
Don't say something.
Hey, answer this question. Shut up, dumbass.
All right.
Shane, open a mic. Don't open a mic.
Yeah, just stop.
Yeah.
Hey, what are we going to do? Don't say anything, though.
Yeah, right.
All right.
It'll be fine. We want to make tomorrow about the four of us. There are definitely some guests that are joining the show, but Tanny has a lot of great production, definitely in my eyes. It's wonderful production, some of the best production. But
you walked in and you said, wow, this is great production.
I did walk in, I said that. I did say that.
I thought Tanny's production, I thought he was using AI to make it look like there was better production there, if you ask me. You know,
that's production.
But yes, tomorrow will be a celebration of this show as it adios.
Adios. All right. Ah, one more. And then the Radiothon. That's a hell of a way to go out. With a goodbye show, with three of the most talented people I've ever worked with, and then we're going to try to raise over $1 million for cancer research. We've all been touched by cancer. For me, it's an honor of my brother Brad. It's going to be a hell of a next 3 days. So really do appreciate the mob support. And I know you'll all show up with your generosity, whatever you can, for the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon Thursday and Friday. Thank you to Nico Horner, Chris Emma, and Dave Wanstead, who were our guests on today's program. Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill, making us sound better than we are each and every day. Be back for the finale tomorrow. It's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.